Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Birthday boy, how are you?
I'm filled with joy and happiness.
Oh, yay!
That was
And soon filled with tea and
yes,
blueberry muffins.
I think I have a really nice one. It's called Jade Citrus Mint.
Ooh, very nice.
I'm really, really excited about all these. Thank you for the amazing.
Maybe somebody wants to make you a cup of Jade Citrus Mint for your birthday with your new Kivana device. What is that? Is that how you do it? Kivana? How do you say it?
Kivana. Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. Sunny, our manager over at Kivana, thank you for helping us in the store. If that's not your name, we apologize. We don't use real names on there, so that's why I made that up.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
Today's day. There you go.
Yep.
You like it. And more than anything, I just want to thank everybody out there for all the birthday wishes that we got this morning. It's been quite a joyous morning, and we can go ahead and talk a little bit more about cannabis.
And about your birthday plans.
And about my birthday plans.
And what you know, and everything.
And you know,
cannabis on your birthday is the best thing.
I am a fly-by-the-seas in my pants kind of guy.
You are.
Going
to Iowa in a hot second.
Yeah.
A hot minute. Happy birthday!
You know, and traveling is something I always wanted to do in life.
Look at how cautious. Sorry. I'm cleaning my bowl. Okay. There's a candle that we just sang happy birthday to the cannabis kid with. Rolls off the table, falls perfectly into my bowl. Happy birthday to you. God, that's really
now
cool.
That one.
We better go play the lotto or something.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even the side that was burnt.
That's so funny. Weird.
Wow. Wider to the house. All right. Speaking of wider, did you smoke cannabis?
I bet he did. I bet Doc Holliday did.
They like their laudanum back in the day, though. They were all like, can I have a sip of that? Give me that laudanum. They were like, you know, you could like stick a little on your finger and take a little sip. But then if you watch the movie Tombstone, that chick just starts drinking it towards the very end. She's like, why? It's like, how are you? She's like, I'm great.
Yeah.
So we don't do laudanum here. We do cannabis. And we want to say hi to the Santa Rita Exchange out there. I don't have my sound effect. I'd be clapping right now because we went and gave a little talk yesterday to the Santa Rita Exchange Club. It was wonderful. They're just awesome, Rita and Gang. And they're fantastic. They're out doing good for the world. They're sponsoring students around Tucson and helping them get grants and scholarships for school for when they're done with high school. And so they wanted us to come give a talk about cannabis and tell everybody just how awesome it is.
Huh.
Yeah. She said, come tell everybody that it's good for you and that they should use it. So we said, all right, get over there and smoke your weed, people. Who smokes weed? You smoke weed? You smoke weed? Yeah, Oprah.
How many people did you have out there that raised their hands and said,
you know what?
They were probably,
let's see, the age groups. I was at pot shop in the background, and she's going, that's it. But they were like, let's say, age group 15 above, 52 age, 16 above, okay, so 60 to 80 was our age range, and there were probably 10, 15, 15, 12, yeah, 15, 15 maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, ish, 15-ish. There was that one ish in the corner we didn't know his name. And when I asked the question, how many, and that was the first thing I did. I just thought it would be fun to ask the question, how many people have ever tried this? And I'd say, let's say I have a 15, 13 raise of hands. And then I said, in my daring move, all right, top secret, 007, put your sunglasses on. How many people are still using it? Yeah, I did. I dare ask. Yeah. And a third of them raised their hand. I would venture to say the other third just didn't want to let it. The other third know that they were secret. They're still doing it. So, and then one lady said, why am I bored? It's great.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, we just made became friends.
That's
good for sure. Oh, yeah. And friends.
Yeah. So, so, yeah. So,
Martha, get over here. We're trying to find recipes. Betty Crocker ain't got nothing on this.
Where's our last bit? Oh, my God. So, it was fantastic. I had only 30 minutes, and I had a whole book full of notes. I was like, okay, the government grows it. I mean, they have their own patients. It's a plant. It's not toxic. I mean, I had to fly out all these little things, and they asked me questions. They asked me really good questions about, actually, one lady said, well, you know, how do you explain the whole gateway thing? Is it a gateway drug? And I said, well, that's a good question. I said, you know, people like to experiment, and a gateway can be anything. It could have been coffee. It could have been bubble gum. It could be heroin. It could be alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana. Coffee, it could be water. Yeah, some people have a propensity towards trying new things and being experimental. There are just people out there that are like that, and that's totally great.
That's
and there's some people who would just rather watch and observe and listen and learn that way, and that's fine too because there are all types of learners in the world. So it was a very interesting talk. It was 30 minutes of just, you know, getting the history back. They like the birds see people. Fact that, you know, when the whole Marijuana Tax Act came out, everyone was denied cannabis except for the birds. They were the only ones that were allowed to use cannabis anymore. The birds.
Yeah.
Again, denatured cannabis. Yeah. And then, you know, we gave them a little bit of the kind of the characteristics of cannabis, what THC does, what CBD does, the things that they've heard before. Talked about the positive and negative effects it can have on you. Talked about dosing, about dosages and being very careful. And I told them all just to start with a half a milligram, not a half a candy bar. Oh, my Lord. It's a big difference.
Right. Well,
there's a big difference. Because one lady said her experience, and she was 18 years old, because her friends were trying to get her to smoke this at 16 years old, she kept saying, no, I don't want to, I don't want to. So finally, age 18, she took a hit of a joint, and there was something else in that joint because she was seeing monsters, and she tripped hard. It was probably LSD. It was probably late. This was a good long time ago when they used to just put that in everything for fun. Because who doesn't want a little LSD in anything, right? All right, here's a cupcake. What's in it? Nothing. You just didn't know back then. You just didn't eat anything anyone else would have. So she took a hit. She saw monsters. Yeah, and she, I don't know, how old was she? 50? We'll say we'll give her a 55, 50, 55. She was probably the younger one in there. Never tried it again. From 18 on, never tried it again.
Mm.
But she's all excited for her sister to use it because her sister has anxiety and she's on a lot of medication that she wants to get off and up and is having trouble doing so. So she'll be coming down to the Zahoy's Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We are back.
Come on down.
Come on down. Voted number one certification center and number one education center in all the world.
My last track. I had to call in from my cell phone because Blog Talk Radio, shame on you.
Your lines were full?
This is the World Wide Web. How do lines get full on the World Wide Web? You tell me.
You better get some more servers over there, people, because if you are having bad server problems, it ain't my problem. And we are paying thousands of dollars a month for the show hosting. Thousands. That far as myself. Okay, thousands. Anyway, here, stand this kid.
Oh.
You go right ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, no, another one? Can you do it?
Yeah, I can.
This is the first, second birthday bong hit for him, but it's the first hit of the second birthday bong. I broke my bowl with the built-in screen. You can come down to Tumbleweed Health Center and buy, and they're so awesome when you don't break them. They've got All right, we're getting more today. Thank you, God, because that's my favorite thing in the whole world. They've got tiny little holes poked in the glass. You don't need screens anymore. You don't need glass screens. You don't need brass or steel because they're a waste of the environment, and you end up, I'm sure you end up smoking it. Where's the
somehow,
last?
Somehow.
All right. A little bit of sad news. Big sad news. Well, good news is Bernie's going to write himself on the ticket. Yay! Come on.
I love this.
Okay. Sad news is APFMR has pulled the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona for Micro Regulation has stopped the quest to get their initiative on the 2016 ballot.
And there's a lot of people questioning why. When what the real reason is.
Well, we don't know the real reason,
and
I don't think that we're ever going to know the real reason. We can all sit back and judge. I don't know. I'm upset. I'm really upset about this. Very, very, very upset about this, and I have my thoughts and opinions, but I didn't go out there and head that campaign, so I don't know what was all behind it and what happened and how hard it was and how much money it took. Now, an organization like NPP, who's got millions and millions and millions of dollars in Melissa Etheridge in their pocket, they can afford to pay people large amounts of money to take their, you know, initiatives places. And that's what these small grassroots organizations have trouble with is funding. And getting volunteers and people together to do this just for free, just with their own goodwill and good time. Because it's hard, you know. Not everybody has some of the time they can just give up and just go walk the streets for nothing. You know,
Yes. The
people for MPP were getting paid good money to do that. And I believe APFMR was volunteer-based. And it's hard when you have a full-time job and then a full-time life and you're supposed to go do something else full-time.
Yeah, these
but,
people gave up a lot of time and a lot of themselves.
And money
to be out there
and energy. And
to
I think
push
they
for something
you know,
that was one more for the patient.
A round of applause. I think they did a good job.
Great job.
What, you know what? You guys suck as my audience.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. I don't care that it's 8:12 in the morning. You guys need to wake up. What's wrong with you? I put some good stuff in there.
it's still hard for me to applaud them right now. I'm so excited.
I'm applauding
them.
So disappointed. Oh, supremely.
Disappointed.
Supremely. But super effort. And and if we had millions of dollars, we probably would have pushed us to be part of this.
Yeah, I mean, if a lot of you may not know, but down at Tumbleweed's Health Center, you know, those guys down there pushing that petition, you know, getting pages filled pretty quickly, actually.
Daily.
And we just had a really large stack that we were getting ready to turn in full of signatures.
We're going to keep them in case anything happens.
And then pow.
I know. Pow. We had thousands more signatures.
Ridiculous.
It is. But like I said, we don't know the story. But there will be an initiative on the ballot this November, so you guys can all get out there and vote to legalize cannabis.
In a different way.
It's not, you know,
this is the time to get out and actually find out what you're voting for, because this being the only thing that we get to choose from right now, the only other thing is you don't vote, which is a vote to the other side. And with this being such an important year in voting, I really recommend people get out there and start reading the different initiatives that each bill is presenting. I want you to get out there and read what each presidential candidate is preaching. Because if you're a cannabis patient or even use cannabis on a regular basis, you're going to want some form of legalization. You're going to want some form of rights for you as a user of this plant. And I think a lot of people don't get out there and look at how this can affect them in so many ways by them not doing anything and just being oblivious or ignorant to the whole voting privilege that we do have as Americans, and getting out there and looking at each presidential nominee, what they're going to be standing for, what it helps out with you and your family, and even the future of your family, because the economy is in such a strange place right now. And I think we as Americans really need to step back and look at where are we at as human beings on this earth. Are we worth every day? How much are our families worth? Because we deserve some of that large, enormous of wealth that is not coming back to down to us, like Reagan wanted it to do, and trickle-down economics. And so it's what's happening now is not what's going to be happening in the future. You know, if depending on who our non-presidential candidate is, it can all be up to how we want it to go out and how it's going to help your family, the future of your family, to get out there and vote, learn all about the initiatives and the bills that are being presented on each time you get to vote, down in September and in November, for the big one.
Well, sorry for the lecture, kid. I had to make Kansas kid a cup of tea, and I had to get him up in, and I left him on his own, and that's what happens when you do that. I said Bernie, he said yes. I say Bernie,
he said yes.
All right, he's got the left yes. Yes. All right.
Sorry.
Oh, we're on cannabis. See, it can be creative, it can be fun. It's experimental. You never know. The little hash on it and the day goes away. So, yeah, just get informed. But we're all about at the Tumbleweed Cell Center.
Read about it.
Yeah, read about it.
If you don't know about it, read about it. Find out. Make sure you know your story.
I'm just sorry we got put a little bit. Don't let him in. Please. Hey, what happened to our chat? Did we get a chat box now? Let's see. So we didn't get to launch through our regular program, so I'm seeing if our chat box is even in here, if anyone's in here last minute.
It's not. Right,
you're in there? Hang on. There it is.
Welcome.
Yay. Hello, everybody. We have a chat box now in case anyone wants to say hi. Because it's messing up today. It's having a technical glitch. That's all right. Technical problems are okay. So vote for marijuana.
So like Will Ferrell when he woke up on old school.
We're speaking.
Well, what happened?
New Mexico's medical marijuana industry tripled in 1 year. Did you hear that? Way to go, New Mexico. Where are my sound effects and stuff? All right. New Mexico's medical marijuana industry is booming. Licensed patients that purchased marijuana more than tripled from 18,062 in the first quarter of 2015 to just over 55,000 in the same period in 2016. Wow.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. So see, once you get these programs out, patients are going to come out of the closet and be like, give me my weed, man. Put your weed in it.
New Mexico's had a really strict way on doing and handling the patients and how many doctors they have to go through and, you know, the threat of losing their opiate and things like that. And, you know, I understand, but there's a fine line of threatening to take children.
Yeah, that's like peer pressure.
It sets them into a stress mode. At that age, I know. I have lived with some older people in my life. And
don't take their shit away, man.
U.S. doctors are supposed to be out there educating and talking about, so you should know.
Right.
You should know about alternative medicine.
Well,
and I hate to be the only to use that word, but cannabis. And
other medicines.
Right, because
other choices
are thinking that this is their only hope.
Well, and the thing is, you don't just stop someone's medication. I mean, you tell them over and over and over and over and over,
don't ever stop
this medication without seeking my advice first. Any medical doctor will tell you not to ever just cold turkey stop it yourself. But that's exactly what these doctors are doing when they find out that patients are using cannabis. They're like, oh, you're done. And they're doing the exact thing they're saying not to do because it's so dangerous. So tell me how that's fair and how that's appropriate, because it really isn't. Medical marijuana
sales, it's deadly, man. I'm all over it. Medical
marijuana sales nearly doubled in that time from $5.7 million in the first quarter to $10 million in the first quarter of 2016. Growers expect a rapid increase in demand to continue because there's a growing acceptance of marijuana in New Mexico and throughout the U.S. Get it growing. Medical marijuana dispensaries and cultivation facilities are also becoming major employers in New Mexico. $3 million in salaries and other compensation was paid in just the first quarter of 2016. We're all trying to get our production facilities up and running, said president of Organtica, one of the 12 New Mexico dispensaries licensed last year. Awesome. Tripled. And you can't argue with that. I don't know. Some people say, excuse me, that the that this isn't going to pass legalization this year. with Arizona voters. And I don't know. Arizona can be quite conservative, but if you look at these numbers, you would be quite silly not to, to at least on a monetary figure, financial.
I have a feeling that this large push to the new bill that's going to be out in September is one of the options that they gave the Republicans or anyone, I shouldn't say Republicans, anyone who's against legalization. This was an option for them because they know it's coming. So there was, I'm sure, some form of, here's your pie. Here's your slice of pie.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming. It's a moneymaker. It's basement floor stuff. We're talking about the $1 trillion. I mean, this can set our whole economy back.
Okay, fix it.
Right.
It could totally fix it. Listen to this. There's a picture of Michael J. Fox here. A judge wrongly denied medical marijuana conditions. An ABDHS, Arizona Department of Health Services judge, wrongly denied medical marijuana conditions. Arizona petitioners have attempted to get Parkinson's disease on the list of qualifying conditions for the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program, but were rejected by the Arizona Department of Health Services, ABDHS. However, this week, a judge ruled that the denial by ABDHS was wrongly dismissed. Judge Dorinda Lane said, in a desire for professionalism, the department has utilized a standard or proof that is higher than the rules call for. In 2015, according to Phoenix New Times, a group of nurses submitted petitions to include an additional 8 qualifying conditions to the medical marijuana program. Nurses have worked to appeal decisions denying the petitions for patients with both Parkinson's and Huntington's disease. A former Tucson dispensary principal and attorney is working pro bono on these cases to help change the decision by the ABDHS. Measures are only required to submit evidence to request a hearing, which the nurses did. 2 studies were submitted as evidence. Only 1 was really needed. Sobel said in response to the fight to get these hearings scheduled that it's bittersweet because we shouldn't have to fight this. They use patients' money to act against patients' interests, given ABDHS a period of 30 days to make a decision as to what steps to take next. They have no intellectual curiosity about the subject, only political. They'll do anything they can to reject new qualifications, Sobel said. A few celebrities with Parkinson's disease are Michael J. Fox, Muhammad Ali, and Johnny Cash.
Mm.
Well, and the thing is, does it not say in the rules that if it causes, what is the exact phrase, causes spasms or, let's look at it right here. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you can check out the list. And
it says
severe or persistent muscle spasms. So that's it. Those are severe and persistent muscle spasms. So we do certify, but it has to fall under the chronic debilitating disease or medical condition or the treatment of the disease or medical condition that causes severe or persistent muscle spasms. So it's not like they just get on the list like PTSD or cancer or glaucoma. They have to jump through hoops to get
PTSD.
Yeah, well, it's not PTSD anymore. You can go to your doctor, and if you have been to the doctor in the last 12 months with that condition diagnosed, you're okay.
Okay.
But with a condition like fibromyalgia or migraines or something that falls under another chronic condition,
Is that you have to be taking some form of anxiety medication? Have tried other methods.
Theoretically, they want you to have exhausted all other methods.
Exactly.
Theoretically.
The wording, they need to stop. If they're not, then they do.
But I don't understand why you have to exhaust a medicine. Like, why exhaust morphine? Or
who?
Or oxy. Or gelatin. Yes, next.
Gosh.
I know.
You're hitting the nail on the head.
It's not fair.
Delicious.
Because they're comparing this to the prescription programs that are out there, but they're not. So, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, they're saying, okay, you have to be this, you have to be like a pharmacy, but worse, is what they're saying. So
they
want to rules and guidelines
you,
even harder for you to
they
get.
They want to hold you to the fire, but not too far.
Yeah, they're going to burn you, but maybe second degree, not third degree.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can do that. Ouch. Just a little bit of burn.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I wonder if this is going to work. We're going to try something. Are you ready?
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped. Shit, I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
There we go. Let's pass now. All right. All right.
Up and away.
All right. Waking up. Waking up.
Good morning to you.
Okay, we won't do that. What do you got? Drug checkpoint ahead.
Yeah, so we did want to talk about a little while traveling this summer on vacation, a road trip.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
This sprung up in the Midwest, possible checkpoints in other states. So it says drug inspection checkpoint. And what they were talking about on this was, there's making sure that your car has its, you're up to date on your tags, you have insurance. This is where they are able to work in their laws, because you're not abiding by the laws of what you said you were going to do. So this is where they're able to bring in canine units and things like that.
Lord.
So if they're all up to code on your insurance and your tag and, you know, all these other things that they said that you need to be, you know, held accountable, your driver's license, driving with a driver's license, you don't have that, that's immediate. Stop. Okay, what's going on? You know, if you're abiding by the laws and you, even having your medical marijuana card is very good to have too. So that's just one thing we were just making sure that we wanted to.
You know, when you travel with your meds, keep them in a lockbox in your trunk or something.
Yeah. This one was shown at near Elk Grove in Illinois.
Drug checkpoint. That's crazy. We have to go through checkpoints too, but
it's Border Patrol, and that's also really that's what that means too, because they do have the canine units out as well.
Well, check this out. This I found interesting. You sent me this little story about infused sugar. Deep Spell Industries reports to have raised $410,000. Should have been $420,000. Come on, guys. To develop technology for use in marijuana infused products. The Seattle startup won't be manufacturing edibles. Instead, they develop technology and license it. Some of their technology has led to products such as marijuana-infused sugar and salt, in which edible makers will use to make edibles. The brand has already trademarked this technology, GeekWire reported, and it's currently licensed to Green Labs, LLC, for its deep-cell Ruby Cannabis Sugar. The Ruby Cannabis Sugar product fuses cannabinoids with sucrose in a mechanical procedure. Salt and alternative marijuana-infused products are expected in the future. DeepCell CEO Kelly Ogilvie said, "We are looking to have Ruby Cannabis Sugar be a keystone ingredient for edibles. We want it to unleash the creative potential in the market by enabling more innovation by cooks and cannabis explorers. Our goal is to license the technology and brand nationally and someday internationally. It is key to understand we do not manufacture or distribute. We own the IP and the brand. The names of the investors aiding in raising the money are being kept anonymous." Infused sugar and salt. They use sucrose in a mechanical procedure.
Yeah, that's their IP, their intellectual property.
Yeah, intellectual property. We have a lot of that.
Yeah.
IP, TM. Whatever we just said.
This is really cool to hear these stories coming out because, you know, Cheryl Schumann, which is one of our favorite ladies out there in the cannabis community, hearing from Cheryl Schumann, she's saying we're on the basement floor of this industry, and there's so many people coming out with different takes on how to use this medication, different dosing, different ways on recipes, mixing it non-gluten compared to
sugar-free.
You know, this is all the ways that it works in different people's bodies, and this is just an incredible way to experiment with this is in food. Because
Be careful what we're saying.
Right?
The
glove.
Be careful because people will oftentimes go into centuries not ever having tried this and grab a candy bar and the next thing you know, they're sleeping for a long time or having anxiety or who knows what. Or maybe jiggling. That's a good thing. But eating half a candy bar at first. Oh, no, we're going back to food. You're right. Wow.
I can turn it up anywhere I want to.
Yes, you can. Turn it first thing. You just hand it here. Who's lying? Say no. Just be careful with your edibles. But guess what? Edibles become legal for sale at orphan dispensaries.
That's incredible. Yeah, congratulations up there, guys. This is such a long time coming.
Yeah.
Because this opens the door up to people using it in vaping, any ways that you can consume it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way it falls into that same category. So,
as of June 2nd, medical marijuana patients in Oregon are finally able to purchase edibles from dispensaries. The state regulations in Oregon are rather rigid. So edible makers have had to take extra precautions to ensure that all the products meet those regulations. Edible marijuana products carried by Shango Premium Cannabis can have up to
16 milligrams THC each. KOIN 6 News reports some lawmakers are attempting to get a THC cap on edibles at 5 milligrams each. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission may make that change when it takes the program over in 2017. Well, that's interesting. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission is taking over the marijuana.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
And what do they know about THC and what levels people can and can't handle and what it will won't do?
Obviously, this is a good part.
Obviously. Shango's spokesperson, Morgan McKee, says, it's hitting a moving target for sure, trying to nail down exact doses. Get it, nail? Edibles manufacturers must also use creativity when packaging these items, as they cannot resemble anything that looks like something a child would think was okay to consume.
Like they came out.
Really? Like the purple pills that come out for, oh, I don't know, sort of sleep pill for adults. Yeah, Lunesta. Pretty. They're pretty. We should get them these guys. That's what I'm saying. This isn't a fair thing.
Imagine the little kids here, though.
In terms of consumption,
we'll
it's best to wait 90 minutes to 4 hours after ingesting a 15 milligram dose of THC from edibles before consuming any other type of marijuana. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. That would tranquilize someone if they did that for the first time. 15 milligrams? We'll put someone out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even a seasonal smoker, it would most likely put them out.
Well, that's a gummy bear and a half for somebody who's never tried anything. And that's a lot for somebody.
The half of a candy bar.
Yeah, some of
candy bar is like
some are
half dozen,
that's too much. That's what I'm talking about, folks. I like the late 90 minutes part, but I'm telling you, start with a half a milligram and go up from there. Just try it. Don't freak yourself out at first. McKee also says a lot of people think it has to do with body weight or it has to do with how much you smoke. It doesn't necessarily have to do with those things. We'll be encouraging people to take it slow. So
15 milligrams
is
not
slow. We're yeah, Oregon though. These are, you know,
seasoned smokers and users.
So, and we're hoping that for the beginner user they're going to say a half a milligram.
Still start slow. Microdose.
Yeah.
What I like to call it. Even microdose.
There was a whole article the other day on microdosing because it really is important. When you go to take your ibuprofen and stuff like that, you don't take 5,000 milligrams at once to see what happens. You're like, dude, I'm on ibuprofen. Check it out. Let's draw. Oh, no, let's try. No, wait.
Just like pizza.
Squirrel. That's it. Squirrel.
Flying carpet. Yeah. Let's do that.
Oh, you have one? See?
Where? You're driving?
You have a flying carpet? No, don't do it. 5,000 milligrams of ibuprofen is bad. That will kill you.
Lay off the drugs.
That would kill you. Lay on the cannabis, but in very small doses. So what did they say about microdosing? Is it really like, is it homeopathic dosing?
Well,
you can get a homeopathic remedy of cannabis, which is basically the essence of the plant itself.
So what we talk about, one.
That would be microdosing.
1.5 milligrams, yeah.
You can get those in those little blue tubes that you dial out, like kind of like you do for Arnica and things like that. You can get cannabis in that. You have to be a naturopathic or a medical doctor to order it.
If they start small, like you said, like you recommended the 1 to 1.5 milligrams.
Yeah.
To start and slowly bring it on because if you want more, take a little bit more.
But wait, like 90 minutes is a good time to wait. Give yourself a good hour, 2 hours, and just hang out with it. See how you feel. Does it feel like?
There's a product in Oregon called Titrate, and the way that you can base on your product is just like that. And because it's going right into the bloodstream, you feel it, the onset is on, so you can actually be able to gauge your dosing in that frequency. So you'll be able to go, okay, like you just took a hit.
Yeah.
A puff of a joint or something like that, but definitely not at that amount that you're getting at a joint. That's why I always tell people one hitters.
Those are great.
I know it's hard for some people, but if you have the hemp wick and you barely lightly hold it over.
A one hitter is basically you can probably even put like a quarter of a gram in these tiny little
right.
I mean, you're putting a tiny little amount in there, enough for one hit. And
exactly.
Hence the term one hitter. But we have some really nice glass ones at Tumbleweed Health Center.
tiny mountain you can see in your clear, which is nice, and you can see what's in there. So for new smokers, they like to start small, and they want to see what they're doing. Then they can see the smoke go through the little chamber, so they can see that. They can see everything happening.
They can stop if they see too much smoke, and you just take a little bit of
that. You can see what you're taking, and that's important.
It really is.
And that's titrating your system, just getting a little bit in at a time. Don't scare yourself. Don't do it. Like you say, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. But there are some great articles about microdosing that we should definitely check out.
There's that one.
Which one?
This one is, that one talks, it's, this is on CBS this morning, and they're talking about, which is some of the mainstream media showing marijuana use among age 55 and older. And how it's gone up from 2013 to 2014, and where we're at now in 2016. Of course, you'll see it we've like reached on all time a new level of seniors switching over from pharmaceuticals or even using them in conjunction with. So you're seeing you'll be here. Do you want to?
Yeah, we're going to. I think
we'll go ahead and play this. And so this is just a news article, a news clip from CBS this morning.
Oh, I can't get her to like, start over, though. So hang on. All right, let's see if it's a short outline. Yeah, I know.
People are a bit more serious about their cannabis consumption. The 55 and older crowd, that's not old, is now the fastest growing demographic of pot users in the country. Between 2013 and 2014, the number increased from 2.8 million to 4.3 million. Barry Peterson, what's been on his newest marijuana customer, might also be a grandparent.
This is not what I'm expecting. These seniors are learning how to fill their prescriptions at a pot shop.
That's got triangle cushions, more sugar.
In California, where medical marijuana is legal.
We get two eggs today.
They want to know the highs and lows of marijuana use.
They have
the aches and pains of growing old.
And you have to learn, like with oral medications, how to use it.
80-year-old Eva Aguilera uses it to help with mobility.
Every medication has a mobility.
Seniors account for only 14% of the nation's population, but they use more than 30% of all prescription drugs, including some highly addictive painkillers. So pot is fast becoming a pill alternative. Marijuana use is up 53% with the 55 and over crowd. Harborside and Oakland is one of California's largest medical dispensaries.
Now, the first stop that we're going to make is here.
Owner Steve D'Angelo wants more seniors to make the switch.
There's an ironic, almost tragic phenomenon, which is that seniors, who are one of the groups who could most benefit from using cannabis, are the single group which remains most opposed to reforming cannabis laws.
That opposition started when seniors were just juniors. Growing up with movies like Reefer Madness.
The burning weed with its root in hell.
And government anti-drug campaign.
Just say no today.
It's still illegal under federal law. But now almost half of Americans live in a state where medical or recreational pot is legal.
Over age 50 is the biggest group starting to use marijuana.
Starting to use marijuana. 2 years ago, pot went on sale for recreational use. Rucker has been using it since the 70s.
It's been a really positive thing in my life as a writer. It's the best way. Being stoned is a good way to work.
Some, but research is now showing it can be helped.
I do think we're turning a corner on that.
Dr. Igor Grant has rare federal funding to study the potential benefits of pot.
It's certainly true that the cannabis and THC have a much better safety profile than the opioid drugs and are less physiologically addicting. So they're safer. That doesn't mean they're completely safe. The marijuana is safer. But I want to say, nothing is completely safe. There's no panacea here.
Minds, like the times, are changing. This year, marijuana use is expected to appear on the ballot in at least a dozen states.
We'll see our grandmothers and our grandfathers and our great-grandmothers and our great-grandfathers benefiting from the substance and advocating best that you say. You know, who wants to fight with their grandmother and their grandfather?
Certainly not anyone we know. Speaking of in the vet for CBS This Morning, Barry Peterson, Oakland, California.
All right, that was awesome.
So it just shows where we're going as a country. I mean, can't stop it now.
Over
that's
half
why
of Americans
over half live in a can get marijuana legally.
Well, they all love it.
They do.
They love
they're switching
it.
Their prescriptions over. You saw that.
Yeah.
But now we've got to get on board with some of the others. You know, only made up 14%. So got to get a lot of other people on board.
But they take 30%.
I saw this the other day. Yes.
Just a little.
Do you guys remember him?
Rick Steves?
Yes.
Oh, Rick Steves is fantastic.
I love him.
Now he's Rick Stone.
Uh-huh.
Rick Stone Steve. Rick Steves Stone.
He used to be on PBS for folks out there who don't know. He, well, I think
still,
well,
he
still
is. Oh, he's
yeah,
a travel guy.
PBS.
Oh, my
does
Lord.
The travel show. Me growing up, I only had PBS. So PBS is like one of my favorite things to watch.
Yeah.
I watch news, cooking, and all my kid shows. This guy travels all around the world to think
with only two of his friends.
Right.
There's three of them, that's it. And they started out just by, and they've never changed their little system. And they just hang out, film each other, or film Rick, you know. And now is he doing pot shops around the world? What's Rick doing? Oh, my Lord. Rick Steves, a wonderfully effective advocate for legalization. As countless American travelers know, Rick Steves is a popular, prolific, and clean-cut travel expert who hosts the popular public television series Rick Steves Europe, as well as National Public Radio show Travel with Rick Steves, and he has written many guidebooks for Americans traveling in Europe. His company, Rick Steves Europe, also hosts hundreds of trips to Europe each year. He helps readers, viewers, and tour participants discover not only great cities but cozy little villages off the usual tourist trampled path. He helps American travelers connect intimately with Europeans, often for a fraction of what mainstream tourists pay. Steve says his company's mission is to inspire, inform, and equip Americans to have European trips that are fun, affordable, and culturally broadening. We value travel as a powerful way to better understand and contribute to the world in which we live. We strive to keep our own travel style, our world outlook, and our business practices consistent with these values. Steve, who is an active member of the Lutheran Church, has a wonderfully wholesome and charming style and has developed unique comfort levels with average Americans. They like and they trust him, and it comes as a surprise to many to learn that Steve has another side to him. He is also a marijuana smoker and a public advocate for legalizing the responsible use of marijuana. Because of his ability to personally connect with his audience, he's a normal advocate whose public support carries great credibility. More and more public figures are beginning to speak out, but Steve was ahead of most of them and has insisted on making his personal views on the subject public, regardless of the audience. Steve made his first appearance as a featured speaker at Normal in 2003 and has been a featured speaker at many of our conferences since. He also frequently joins Normal to address the annual Seattle Hemp Fest. He was first elected to Normal Board of Directors in 2013, and he continues to serve in that capacity. That's awesome. That is really great for someone who has that much media power to put himself out there like that, because that's pretty big. He's got a lot of followers, and, you know, a lot of, you know, like they said, he's very clean-cut. You know, it's very trusted by Americans, and that'd be putting, like, you know, a little Richard Cunningham up there saying, I like cannabis. I don't know if they whistle that tune anymore.
It's okay, folks. It's okay to like it.
It is okay to like it.
It's okay to like it.
Come on
out. You can be okay.
Tell your friends you like it.
You can be okay with the green.
Yeah, you'll be okay. Because guess what? There's great marijuana tax revenue, and it's a blessing for many Colorado cities. New reports are revealing how Colorado cities are using tax revenue for marijuana sales to improve their community. The city of Aurora is using $1.5 million towards the city's homeless epidemic, as well as by building a new community center and roads. In Adam County, the Denver Post reports that $500,000 is being set aside for low-income students in scholarship funds. Let's just pause for that right now. Oh, my Lord.
You're not just going to legalize marijuana. You're going to better
waiver funds in a general fund. This allows communities to use the tax dollars where they see fit while sticking to state guidelines. The city of North Glen will be making improvements to city facilities and infrastructures. Some lawmakers believe that transparency is important in the situation of using marijuana sales tax dollars to fund community programs. Showing residents where the money is going and what programs are benefiting from the tax dollars has helped the acceptance of recreational and medical marijuana sales. Bob Roth, an Aurora councilman, said, "One thing I felt very strongly about was that it not just go to the general fund, but kept in a separate bucket so we could show the community specifically what we were doing with it." Executive Director of Marijuana Industry Group, Mike Elliott, says, "A lot of communities have struggled to have enough revenue to fill potholes and to keep the streetlights on. What we've seen out of Aurora is that money is going to address homelessness. It's a great use for that money. Although roughly 70% of Colorado communities have opted out of retail marijuana, many communities are still being assisted from marijuana tax revenue. We treat revenue generated by marijuana just like we treat other general fund revenue, and it helps support city operations. At this point, I don't see the number of establishments increasing here in Wheat Ridge," said Wheat Ridge Mayor Joyce Jay. And they made a really great point, and that is it when you show your community and your state where that money's going, it helps you trust the program more. So when we as citizens and taxpaying dollars are spending almost $300 a year on medical marijuana card, and half of that is going to the state of Arizona, they have a giant chunk of change sitting in a bank, and what they've used it so far for that we know of.
Collect interest.
That and really bad brochures that they have just now stopped. They used to have, well, at least they were sending something out. I won't say they were really bad. They were just slightly bad. But at least they were sending something out and keeping people informed and doing something with that money that we saw. Now what we've heard they're doing with that money is fighting the approval of things like Parkinson's disease for the list. Like they're using that money to fight that fight. So that's not okay.
That they have to use it that way because that's the only way they get to use it. But in a way, it is fighting for something, but that money should be going back into how this gets to be used and not having to fight for something that is, it should be a right.
Yeah.
This is actually a really cool thing. If you actually go, we can play this offline.
Is this on the Facebook page?
Yeah, this is on the Facebook page.
Where do we go?
This is a Cheryl Sherman talking about mothers in cannabis and how some mothers are teaching their children about what medicine that they take, like just so, you know, the mother's able to do it. And
oh, here we go. See what they had to say.
It's made of marijuana.
Okay, hang on. She's reading a book to her kid. The book's called It's Just a Plant.
What's that, Mommy? This is a joint. It's made of marijuana.
Marijuana?
When I use cannabis, quite frankly, it does make me a better mom because I'm calmer, I'm more rational, I'm not angry, I'm not stressed.
Every month, Mother Cheryl Schumann hooks a cannabis infused into her heart.
Tonight, I'm going to be having a cannabis infused chicken piccata made by a wonderful chef here in Beverly Hills, and we're also doing a cannabis infused salad. It's going to be really delicious.
Mommy stepped out on the back porch to do a bong hit.
Cannabis helps me be a better mother. It makes me a more creative mom, a more relaxed mother. What's that, Mommy? This is a choice. It's made of marijuana.
Marijuana?
Hopefully one day we'll see Beverly Hills cannabis clubs all over so people can go in and have medicated coffee. And I would like to just see it as normal as walking into Starbucks.
There you go. Mom's on marijuana. That's not so bad, is it?
Would you rather have a mom on marijuana or a mom on
coffee? Yes.
None of that.
No alcohol, mom. No, none of that.
It's not about getting stoned. It's about her taking her medicine, getting her to a point like an anxiety medication or what?
There was a question brought up at our little group yesterday about cigarette smoking versus cannabis smoking, and a lot of people think that, because we were talking about the different methods. You can smoke it, you can vape it, vaporize it, you can eat it, you can, they have suppositories now, there's patches you can use now, like the little, you know, smoking patches, this is the cannabis patches, they've got the little Mr. Mist things you put in your tongue, I mean, there's everything, no. Sure. There's gum, there's tinctures, there's juices, there's, like she said, salad dressing. But we were talking about people compare cigarettes to smoking pot, and they say pot's so much worse. Well, most, I don't know if it's most, but a lot of cigarette smokers smoke quite a few of those cigarettes in a day, half a pack to a pack a day.
You know how much that is?
Or more. So each cigarette is 1 gram of tobacco. If you smoke a pack a day, you're smoking 20 grams of tobacco. And usually this, you know, people are just running into
the mouth, folks.
Same way, grabbing cigarettes, and there's a lot of chemicals in those 20 grams.
In
but,
the car.
So comparatively, there's no cannabis user usually that smokes 20 grams in a day. That's a lot, I mean, other than Little Mary Jane. But usually it's maybe a gram, maybe 2 grams a day, maybe, you know. And for most people that are just starting out, they'll get a joint and they'll take a puff or two, and they'll be good, and they'll set it down, and they'll come back maybe, you know, the next day or maybe later that evening. They'll sit down at the end of the night, a little cup of coffee, and puff or two of their joint again, and they're good. So they're not even smoking that whole gram, if your joint has a whole gram in it, if you're lucky. Sometimes you'll get a little tear, a half-gram joint, which is very small. But the comparison is unfair. Just wanted to point that out. Cigarette smokers are smoking 20 grams of their product a day, and cannabis users are usually smoking a gram or two. Very big difference in lungs, what it's doing to the lungs, and cannabis is also a healer of the lungs. So
bronchodilator.
Yeah. Antibacterial, antifungal. Mm-hmm. It's all sorts of good things. So, we love
it.
It
does more good than it does bad to you in your lungs.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Bo show.
Well, this has been a really fun birthday show.
It was a really fun birthday show.
A fantastic day. It's a fun thing.
I thought we also needed to play.
Oh, we are.
That's what we decided.
Okay. Well, that's been decided. That's what's happening today. We're just going to smoke pot all day for Candace's big birthday.
And it has been set.
And it has been set. It's like a gauntlet or something, like one of the commandments or something. Kind of scary. All right, let's
we'll be doing here. Patients here.
Yeah, we'll just do them here. We won't give the address of where here is, so.
It's a secret place.
Secret.
Thanks, folks, for tuning in.
Thank you, guys. Happy Wednesday, Wednesday. Happy birthday, Candace.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for my wonderful guest. I mean, I love it so much. You guys are all wonderful friends.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
And we love that cannabis is keeping you around. It keeps you healthy. Take your vitamin C, folks. Get out there. I understand this. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'd like to thank Kimberly's Health Seminars, Weekday Wednesday, Growing Up, Studio C, all our listeners, everything
all
here.
All our awesome.
Yeah.
Tumbleweed.
Yes.
All of our awesome. The ones that weren't here today, we love you. All the patients that come in and support.
Everybody. The patients.
Thank
you to the doctors. Just thank you, everybody. We love you. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Now I don't know how to end the show. I'm going to try this, folks. Happy weekend.
JJ, end the show.